God is looking for a volunteer to go into the world to proclaim the message of good news. God asks, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah responds by saying the famous words, "Here am I. Send me."
That's the Reverend Dr. David Hull, and today he brings you an inspiring message entitled Benediction. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. David Hull, who began serving as associate pastor of Second Pastor Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, about a year ago. David is a graduate of Vanderbilt University and earned Master of Divinity, Master of Theology, and Doctor of Ministry degrees from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He earlier served as pastor of churches in Kentucky, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. David, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We've had the senior pastor of Second Pastor Leon Baptist Church on Day One in the past, Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, and he'll return in September. But we're pleased that you joined the staff here at the church that serves as the Day One World Headquarters. But give us a sense of the witness and mission of this big white church in Buckhead.
Second Pastor Leon is a wonderful church with a great history and tradition. And while we love that history and tradition, we're also focused on our current mission and the vision for the future. It's a loving family. It's a place where worship is taken very seriously and where we come to grow in Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm loving being a part of this church family.
Now, you've served as a church pastor since 1980. Has it been challenging to adjust to your new position in any way?
This is a new thing for me. After about 35 years of being a senior pastor, I'm now doing leadership, but from the second chair. Uh-huh. But part of the newness of it is some of the challenge and some of the excitement of it. So it hasn't been hard at all. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. You're also an adjunct professor at McAfee School of Theology of Mercer University in Atlanta. Tell us about your role there.
Well, I do several things there. I have taught leadership classes, which is really my interest and passion, and I've taught some in pastoral preaching. And I also am on the faculty for doctoral students. Mm-hmm. I supervise doctoral students. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy my connection with that school.
And you do some consulting with churches as well.
I'm a part of a group called the Center for Healthy Churches, mm-hmm. and I work with churches, helping them, especially with visioning for the future or as they search for a new pastor, mm-hmm. to help them with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your wife, Jane, is also a minister, but in a different denomination. Tell us about her ministry and how that works for you both.
Jane and I met in seminary when she was a music major and I was a theology major, and then for 30-plus years, we ministered alongside in the same churches. Uh-huh. But about 10 years ago, she experienced a call to be a senior pastor. Mm. And so she went back to seminary and entered that call. And providentially, she had an experience being an interim pastor at a Christian church, a mm-hmm. Disciples of Christ church in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that opened up new denominational doors she didn't know anything about. One thing led to another, and that led to a call for her to be pastor of the Union Christian Church in Watkinsville, Georgia.
Wonderful. And you have other family members as well in the ministry.
Yes. My dad was a minister for a good while as a pastor, professor, and academic administrator. Mm-hmm. My daughter is also a pastor. She is pastor of First Baptist Winston-Salem. We kid about the family business as our ministry, but we all have a deep love for the church and love serving in it in various ways.
You grew up with the late, great John Claypool as your pastor, and you'll mention him in your sermon. How did that family relationship shape your life and ministry?
John Claypool was my dad's best friend. They met in seminary, in Hebrew class. They were the same age, and both were brilliant preachers and theologians. And so our families were just very close because of their close friendship. Mm-hmm. And for about 11 years, he was my pastor growing up, which tremendously impacted my life. Mm-hmm. We were there for tough times as well as joyous times. And I'm so grateful to have had that experience with him as my pastor.
Mm. Well, today for Trinity Sunday, your sermon draws from the story of the calling of the prophet Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 6. Would you read that for us?
Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
A beautiful passage and quite a powerful account, and more than a bit surreal. David, what strikes you about this passage as you read it?
What strikes me is the worship encounter that happened, this vision of God's grandeur and literally a picture of God's glory, but also the striking contrast with Isaiah's brokenness, his humanity, his sinfulness, where he says, "Woe is me," which calls for God's grace. Mm. You know, it's glory and grace all put together. And then all of that asks for a response from us once we have that encounter.
Well, we look forward to hearing your sermon, which you have called Benediction. David, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of David Hull's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
The benediction was my favorite part of the Sunday morning worship service. As a young child, I thought I knew what benediction meant. The cartoons I watched signed off with, "That's all, folks," and I knew the cartoon was over. Benediction was the church way of saying, "That's all, folks." Soon I could get up and move around. No longer did I have to be quiet and worry about the stern look from my mother if I was not so attentive. Lunch was not far away. I loved the benediction and everything that it represented. Much later in life, I learned what benediction really means. It simply means a good word. As worship concludes, a good word is spoken to the congregation. Often we bow our heads as if it is a prayer, but the good word is usually a word spoken more to the worshiper than to God. It sends us out from the worship where we have gathered in God's name to be scattered into the world, to live on mission for God. The Bible is filled with benedictions. The ancient Hebrews used them. The Apostle Paul often closed his letters with one. Today, ministers sometimes use these biblical benedictions to send the congregation into the world. From the time I was 5 until I was 16, John Claypool was my pastor in the Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. He had written his own benediction. Every week he spoke the same words at the conclusion of worship. Soon the congregation began to learn these familiar refrains and would even whisper them along with the preacher. As I grew older, the benediction took on new meaning for me. No longer was it just the end of worship. Instead, it became the chance for me to speak along with my pastor. The words that had become so familiar to me took on the profound effect of ritual. Each phrase of John's benediction began to be planted like seeds in my mind and heart. Most of John's sermons I do not remember. I will never forget his benediction. I have used it throughout my ministry. Have you heard these words before? Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember, in the goodness of God you were born into this world. By the grace of God you have been kept all the day long, even unto this hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed. Today I invite you to think about the good word of a benediction that was spoken at the end of an incredible worship experience. Perhaps we can learn these words and repeat them over and over again in our own encounters with God. One day, Isaiah had an experience of worship that included a vivid vision of God. He saw the Lord high and lofty, in all the majesty and grandeur of divine splendor. He described this as a smoke-filled room with mysterious creatures inhabiting the place. The atmosphere of this encounter was one of wonder and awe. His close encounter with God called forth praise and a declaration of the holiness of God. The God Isaiah depicts is not some cozy buddy who can be accepted or rejected with ease. Instead, Isaiah describes a God of power who strikes our hearts and bends our knees in praise and adoration. It is as if Isaiah looked through the temple window and saw the face of God. We could stop right here and talk for a long time about the wondrous glory of God. In a world that is often filled with mundane routine and ugly behavior, we would do well to see again a vision of a God who is holy, holy, holy. But we must move on. A benediction is waiting. The vision of God called forth a response from Isaiah. As soon as Isaiah saw the wondrous glory of God, he was struck by his own lack of luster. He cried out, "Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This encounter with the Holy One was not only an opportunity for Isaiah to focus on God, it was also a chance for him to consider the sinfulness and brokenness of his own humanity. We cannot focus on God's goodness without also examining our own faults. We cannot praise the strengths of God without being made aware of our own weakness. We cannot glorify the love of God without also agonizing over our own lack of love. We can echo the words of Isaiah when we look into the mirror of reality and say, "Woe is me." We can also know the joy of Isaiah when we hear God's word of grace. Our guilt has departed and our sin is blotted out. There is not a more welcomed word for us to hear than the grace-filled message of forgiveness. We could spend a long time talking about our woes and God's loving forgiveness, but we need to move on. A benediction is waiting. A real encounter with God challenges us to look at the needs of the world. Isaiah did not have time to settle in for a long worship retreat. As great as his vision of the power of God might have been, and as reassuring as the forgiveness of God was following his repentance, Isaiah is challenged with a question. God is looking for a volunteer to go into the world to proclaim the message of good news. God asks, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah responds by saying the famous words, "Here am I. Send me." Worship is always transformed into mission. Hearing the voice of God is not just for our own personal enlightenment. That is what God is trying to say to Isaiah when God sent him from the temple. Too often churches have created their own closed societies inside stained glass windows and under tall steeples. It is little wonder that many who are outside the walls have trouble discerning the relevance of what is done in the church. Worship is not a wall behind which to hide. It is a door that beckons us to walk through it to a world in need. Everything that we do in worship should relate to life outside of the church. Here am I. Send me. These are words of benediction. Because of Isaiah's profound experience of the glory of God, and because his guilt was cleansed and his sins forgiven, he was set free to invest his life in others. That should always be our good word of benediction. After all, isn't that what Jesus said? He certainly knew the majestic glory of God's presence, but he also saw the brokenness of humanity in need of forgiveness. The good word of Jesus was to say, "Here am I, send me." And in the mystery of what we call the incarnation, Jesus was sent from glory into a world desperately needing grace. As he walked among us, Jesus was a benediction, a good word. As the Gospel of John says it so beautifully, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Glory and grace happened in the benediction of the good word we call Jesus. A missionary once taught me an important lesson. We were talking together about the meaning of incarnational missions in Thailand. He asked, "Why did Jesus wait so long before he began his ministry?" We usually think that Jesus was about 30 when he began his earthly ministry. Why wait so long if his work was so important? It was because of the incarnation. He came to live among us, not just to quickly do a salvation operation and then get out. Jesus came to know our hopes and dreams, sorrows and griefs. The Word became flesh and lived among us is not just what happened in Bethlehem. It continued in Nazareth for many years, preparing Jesus to know how to bring peace into our hearts. "Here am I, send me," meant that Jesus literally moved into our neighborhood and spent time getting to know us. As I grew in faith, I learned to say my pastor's benediction along with him. The words were no longer just his words. They became my words and our words. Isn't that what faith really is? Jesus said the good word in the glory and holiness of heaven, "Here am I, send me."
He then came to share God's glory and grace with all of us. What a good word of benediction his life was. We who are his followers can now begin saying this same good word of benediction along with Jesus. Here am I. Send me. When our lives have been changed by the vision of God's holiness and by the grace of God's forgiveness, then we can respond to the call from God to be on mission in the world. Here am I. Send me becomes our good word of benediction. Who will go? God asks. When people don't know about the love of Jesus and need to hear the story, when injustice marginalizes groups of people who need love and respect, when poverty means that children are going hungry, who will go? God asks. When prejudice separates us, brothers and sisters in the human family, when grief is so great that lives are immobilized, when guilt is so consuming that people feel imprisoned. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God asks. Perhaps we can speak the words of benediction along with Isaiah and Jesus. Here am I. Send me. That is the good word our world needs to hear. Pray with me, please. Inspire us by a vision of your glory, dear God. Cleanse us by the forgiveness of your grace. Empower us to speak the words of benediction that a hurting world needs to hear. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, your good word who lived among us. Amen.
The Reverend Dr. David Hull was our preacher today. David is the associate pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his message entitled Benediction, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial offerings of our faithful listeners. We're grateful for your support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Dr. Ellen Richardson, priest in charge of the Episcopal Church of the Advent in Williamston, North Carolina. Her message is entitled The Man with the Withered Hand. Be sure to tune in next time on Day One. David Hull offers some final reflections on his sermon today with our host, Peter Wallace.
David, the title of your sermon, Benediction, was also your favorite part of the Sunday morning service when you were a kid. Mine too. The good word that comes at the end of the service meant you were free to go. And in your case, growing up, the benediction created by your pastor, John Claypool, had deep significance to you and to many. I wonder sometimes if we don't still take the minister's benediction as the signal that time's up, the service is over, rather than really hearing it and embracing it as we leave. What do you think?
Well, I think you're exactly right. We often see it as a sign that says, time to go. And that's one thing that was so powerful about John's benediction, because he used the same words every week. Mm. It took on a kind of ritual, mm-hmm. so that it was not just, let's get out of here. It became a part of the liturgy of the church. And my guess is that many of us who grew up or were in the church during those years could say that benediction today. And I think it had greater meaning because he used the same words every week.
The vision that God gave Isaiah called forth a response. As soon as Isaiah saw the wondrous glory of God, you said he was struck by his own lack of luster, declaring himself lost, a man of unclean lips. And that's an important aspect of encountering God, recognizing our own faults and weaknesses. But what might happen if we get stuck there?
That's why I like this passage so much, because God doesn't let Isaiah get stuck there. There is this sense of forgiveness with the beautiful image of sins that are being blotted out and taken away. But then there is also this call to mission and service. And I think the message of this whole story is God doesn't want us to get stuck either with the vision of his grandeur or the picture of our own brokenness. Mm-hmm. God wants us then to move into service.
You said an authentic encounter with God challenges us to look at the needs of the world. Here I am, send me, was Isaiah's cry in response to God's invitation. As you put it, worship has always transformed into mission. I like that. And that is so important. Worship is not a wall to hide behind, but a door to walk through to a world in need. So for those of us who attend church, what does that mean?
It means we gather for worship, but that's not the last word, mm-hmm. the be-all and end-all. That is actually the preparation for the main event, which is to come, mm-hmm. Which is our joining in God's mission in the world, our ministry and service. Too often we think, well, I've been to church, I've been to worship, now I've checked that off. My religious stuff is done for the week. Mm-hmm. No, that's the holy huddle where we come together and get trained and equipped, but then we are sent out into the world to serve.
Mm-hmm. David, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope that everyone will enter into an encounter with God, whatever that might be, expectant to experience God's glory and hopeful to receive God's grace, but then also with a sense of willingness to say these good words of benediction, here am I, send me.
Amen. David Hull, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And I'd like to leave us with John Claypool's own benediction.
Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember, in the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all the day long, even until this hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus, you are being redeemed. Amen.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.